Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest, Majority Leader in the Rhode Island House of Representatives, Joseph Shekarchy. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to come on this show.
By the time you're hearing this, the House Finance Committee will almost certainly have approved a new state budget. But we taped this segment Thursday, and things were still in flux at this time. So, Majority Leader Shekarchy, what were the areas of substantial agreement heading into the budget vote?
We have a lot of areas that we're looking at. There's a really good, productive process going on, and we're looking at cutting where we can cut and funding the issues that are priority for the respective chambers or respective branches of government.
And what are the key disagreements heading into the vote?
This is really, we're still finalizing a product to vote on, but the areas that are not necessarily of agreement is this: the prioritization of spending. We're looking at what parts of the budget that we can trim or delay, and what areas of spending that are a priority that we have to do this year.
How do you see the outlook here, Maureen?
Well, I think, the educated guess would be that they're going to have to make all these cuts, that the car tax is going to go, the first phase of it. And everyone is guessing that something for the governor, a starter, if you will, a pilot, if you will, for her tuition program might be in there. And I think the idea is we're all waiting to see where the cuts are. And that's, I think that's the interesting face of this. I think these major issues will be in the budget, but how they're going to pay for them is what we have to wait and see.
We're meeting and we'll continue to work diligently and to try to come to a resolution on the budget.
Scott, is this any easier in a year when there's a lot of pain that has to be shared, a $134 million deficit to be wiped out and $26 million more to pay for the start of the car tax phase out? Is that easier in some ways than a year when there's a surplus?
Sometimes that's true. You see, when there's especially extreme austerity, people tend to get together and tighten their belts and do it. But what concerns me is Medicaid. What are you going to do about Medicaid? It's a big piece of the budget. Is that going to be held harmless?
I don't know the exact answer to that. As I said, that's still under negotiation, but it's going to be looked at very carefully from different points of view. And part of Medicaid, a lot of that is reimbursable spending. Some of it is not reimbursable. So we're looking at to try to make strategic surgical adjustments that will cause the least amount of pain. I'm not saying that there'll be cuts, but I'm telling you it's being looked at not from this kind of an point of view that we need to eliminate or cut 10%. We're looking at individual programs, which ones benefit the people of Rhode Island the most, which ones that would cause the least amount of pain if we had to adjust it or delay something.
In other news, a high-level State House aide, Frank Montanaro, got about $50,000 worth of free education for two dependents at Rhode Island College. That's according to a report by WPRI-TV Channel 12. Montanaro left a job at RIC in 2014, but he did not completely give up his benefits there. Majority Leader Shekarchy, Montanaro will not share the documentation for the benefits, even though his salary is paid for by taxpayers and RIC is a public institution. Do you support his decision on that, or should he release that documentation?
Well, if it's private personnel information, he's entitled to keep that private. If it's public information, and the university should share that information.
Why haven't more of your legislative colleagues criticized this situation?
I've only become the majority leader this year, so I wasn't on JCLS.
That's the Joint Committee on Legislative Services, the spending arm of the legislature.
That's correct. Since I've known Frank Montanaro, since I've been in the State House, he's been diligently working hard. Even Leader Morgan likes him. He performs for everybody in a bipartisan way at a high level. He's a very talented person. He does well. My understanding of the facts and the situation are he is a member of a class that's governed by a collective bargaining agreement that he was entitled to take this benefit. Now, we can have a debate whether we should look at tuition waivers in general all across state lines, and I welcome that debate or that inquiry, but he applied for and received a benefit that he was entitled to. We can have a policy debate whether we should have tuition waivers or not, and I understand that.
Scott, one rep, Jared Nunes, made the point that if this person was a custodian at RIC who landed at the State House, he probably would not get the same benefits. What do you say?
Look, he got Frank's a good guy as far as knowing the legislature and understanding the system, but He got a big pay raise to $150,000, roughly. And frankly, I think at that level, you can afford the tuition for your kids at RIC.
There was something of a problem years ago because these tuition waivers were being given out very freely, and they've sort of cracked down on that. I know at the university there are forms that everybody has to fill out every semester. So I don't know what happened at RIC, but if in fact it is the case that you can stay on the payroll at on the books at RIC for 3 years or more, certainly that's a policy that's got to be changed when, you know, you're doubling your salary someplace else. And it seems to me maybe a cynical view. The only reason why he kept, you know, he kept on the books was because he knew he could be entitled to this tuition. And I certainly don't think that's the spirit of what these tuition waivers are about.
Finally, one of the issues being debated in the final weeks of the legislature is paid sick days for workers. Supporters say there are many part-time workers or workers who don't get this benefit who need it in order to take care of themselves or family members. Some in the business community say this would be an onerous cost for business. Leader Shikarchi, are we going to see a compromise on this, and what will it consist of?
I don't know if we're going to see a compromise, but I can tell you that I have been working very hard with the supporters of working families and the legislators who support this and the business community as well, and I'm trying to come to some kind of a compromise. I don't know if we're going to be able to get there. As you know, this is a very popular issue with people in general, that Massachusetts has it and Connecticut has it. And they have different forms of it and different versions of it. So we have to look at that and see if Rhode Island could absorb it. And we also need to look at the fact that the other benefits that Rhode Island gives, which is TDI and family medical leave, that some of our neighbors don't give. So it's you have to look at apples to apples and oranges to oranges. I will tell you that I'm working hard to try to find a compromise. I do not know if I'll be successful.
My question is, why did they come out with a plan that was more generous than Connecticut and Massachusetts? Had they asked for parity, that would have gone down better. Now they're negotiating backwards. I mean, is that the way the system works? I mean, why didn't they come up with a reasonable bill and have said they had talked to the business community before putting it out there?
Well, that you'll have to ask them, but that's common at the State House. If you want, 5 yards of something, ask for 10, and they think the compromise, that's a common practice. I'm not saying it's a good practice, but that has happened in other issues. The other thing is that Massachusetts and Connecticut are different. Massachusetts has a 50-employee exemption. Excuse me, Connecticut has a 50-employee exemption. If you have 50 employees or less, you're exempt from paid time off. Massachusetts has a 10-person or limit. So if you have 10 persons or less, you're exempt. So where do we fit in Rhode Island? And they were asking for 7 days, and the other two states give 5 days. Mm-hmm. So there's something that has to be looked at. There's different ways. I'm telling you, I personally and Whip Edwards, as well as Chairman of House Labor, Bob Craven, and I, the three of us, have had many meetings and working diligently to try to hopefully find a workable solution for the business community and or the working families advocate.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And House Majority Leader Joseph Shikarchi of Warwick.
Always my pleasure to come.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, follow our website at ripr.org.